Goedemorgen. Good morning to each and every one of you. We have a few special visitors today. We have Olya's mom, of course. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And of course, we have Paul and his family. We know you very well. You belong to us too, I would like to say, but you moved away a little bit, and today you are with us. So we are very delighted, looking forward to hearing some of your stories later, and so we enjoy that very much. Online, we have Jetske, we have Omo and his wife, Miro. We have Martin and Olya, we have Emil and Princess, and we got Brownwin and Dion online. So we got quite a few people online today. And the little David, of course. He should be always, should be somewhere there too in the background. Katya. And Katya, yes. Thank you for being with us today. I hope that you enjoy this. And most of all, Jesus in the heart. That is the most beautiful thing of all things. 2022 draws to an end. This is the last Sunday that we meet in 2022. Next week, Lord willing, it will be 2023. And for the last Sunday of this year, I was challenged a little bit what to talk about. And of course, in one way, we do know that a great part of this world is celebrating Christmas. But when we look at the Bible, we don't see it whatsoever. And of course, we do not say that the birth of Christ is not important. The birth of Christ is very important. The birth of Christ is very crucial. But Jim, as you just went before us in the Lord's Supper is the supper of which Jesus said, "Do this in my memory." So that is what we do. And then, of course, I was challenged to think about what would I talk about today. When we look at God, we see that God, in the very beginning, created time. The world was created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. And the word rested is sort of not the word that really should be used. It actually more means he stopped creation, and then there was one day left. And of course, that came to be known as the Sabbath. So God invented time. God created time. And as 22 is drawing to a close, I thought, let us talk this morning about time. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, the verses we just read, we find in verse 16 that the Apostle Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." So the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, and when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, you see basically those first 20 verses are all about walk in the light, walk in love, walk in truth. And that is God's desire for his people. Walk in love, walk in truth, walk in those things that belong to Christ. And he says then in verse 15 and 16, there is another version that actually uses this word, walk circumspectly. The English Standard Version again says, look carefully how you walk. And this word circumspectly, or this word carefully, is a word that comes from a Greek word that basically means exactly. Walk exactly. Walk carefully. Walk circumspectly. And the interesting thing here is that if you look at the dictionary and you look up the word circumspectly, do you know what it says? It says you trace out its course, which means when you walk as a believer, you don't just go any way you want to go or think that you should go or whatever. No, you first look, where does this take me? So you trace out its course. So you make a decision and you say, okay, if I take this route, where will that lead me in 1 week? Where will that lead me in 1 hour? Where does that lead me in 2 weeks? Where does that lead me in 2 years? Now think of Lot. Lot made a decision. Abraham, of course, his uncle said, you choose. And what happened? Lot said, oh, look there, I see a lot of water. And that is good for my livestock. So, yes, I want to go there. But do you know what happened based on that choice? We know what happened, right? Ultimately, what did he lose? He lost his wife. He lost his sons-in-law. He suffered incest by his own daughters, who said, we have no husband anymore. What would Lot have done if he would have known those things before? Would he have made that decision? Because we know, of course, that those watery regions were very close to Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he trace out the course of his decision? And the answer is no. He made the decision based on the flesh. I see water, that's good for my livestock, that is good for me. He didn't trace out the course of his decision. And brothers and sisters, I would like to suggest in whatever we do, or I might say it in those words, 22 is coming to an end, close, or soon. 23 is starting. How about we encourage one another. We admonish one another. In 2023, in all the decisions that we make to trace out its course. How many young people have not been tempted to do something that is just a little bit wrong? Some young people, because of that one little decision, they ended up in prison, ultimately. We know the stories, right? It starts with, let's steal a little bit of this. And then once you stole a little bit of this, I can go a little bit further and further and further and further. So many people are in prison that are not necessarily evil people, but they did not trace out the course of their decisions. They only looked at the temporal. Think of Judas. Did he trace out the course of his decision? Did he really make a decision? I'm just going to hang myself. He saw money. Just one time. And the examples, of course, go on and on. Brothers and sisters, as 2022 is drawing to a close and we start 2023, let us encourage one another to trace out the courses of what we are doing. A second verse that I want to look at is found in Colossians 4, verse 5. It says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. So in that verse, in Colossians 4, verse 5, he speaks specifically about those that are outside. He says, walk in wisdom with those that are outside, redeeming the time. What is the key word here? The key word here is wisdom. And that, of course, has a lot to do with you trace out a course of what you are doing. Isn't the Bible a beautiful book? The Bible gives you wisdom upon wisdom. In this morning's Bible study, of course, we talked about that passage in Colossians. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What are you fighting in your life? I know we are all fighting. At least I'm fighting something. Where do I need to go? I need to go to Christ. What are you battling in your life? Where do you need to be? You don't need to be in the books first. You need to be with Christ first. And say, Jesus, you have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and I just don't know how to do this. I just don't know how to deal anymore with my neighbor that is hard on me. I don't know anymore about my merits. My merits is this and that. I just don't know. We need to go to Jesus because Jesus has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Coming back to this passage, the key word here is wisdom. The key word here is the higher kind of wisdom that God can give us. And you are reminded probably when you think of wisdom about the passage in James. Count it all joy when you fall into various battles. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. God says there is an answer to those things. You pray, and I will give you the wisdom that you need in order to move on. That is the promise of God. And again, isn't that wonderful? We can always walk in good steps. We can always walk circumspectly. Why? Not because we have it all, but because God has it all. And Evgeny, as you mentioned this morning in the Bible study, we have the Holy Spirit. Whew. Wow. Do we know what the Holy Spirit did? It raised the dead body of Jesus to life. And he is the one that is within us. Brothers and sisters, what we need to do is we need to be at the feet of Jesus. We need to be praying warriors. We need to be the ones that in everything that happens in our life, we need to go to Jesus and ask him the wisdom and knowledge that we need. And again, for 2023, I wish that for myself because I'm battling. I got my struggles. I got my trials. But I also wish that for one another. Time. What a beautiful concept that God has given us. Now let us look a little bit at Jesus. Because when we look at Jesus, in all the 33 years that he walked on this earth, he made very good use of his time. And as we see, Jesus was always busy. And what was he busy with? He was busy with doing the Father's will. And as he was busy, look at what it says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not. What was Jesus doing? He was reaching out to Jerusalem. He was reaching out to the elected people of God in those days. He was reaching out to the Jews. He was busy. He was tracing out the course of his decisions. Because by reaching out to Jerusalem, he was reaching out to the souls of these people. When you look at Jesus in the Gospels, he reached out to everyone that needed him. He says in John 9, verse 4, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Christ helps us to understand. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And brothers, that should be our song as well. Let us work the works of him who sent us while it is day. And again, when you look at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians says, when you were not yet in Christ, it literally says you spent enough time in the flesh. You did enough evil before you came to God. And when you come to God, it is time to have priorities and to work the works of him that sent us. Now, interestingly, when you look at Mark chapter 6, verse 31, and there are some other passages as well that we might read on that, but in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, it says, and he said to them, come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. Now, I think that is interesting. Jesus was busy with doing what the Father wanted him to do. But Jesus also understood the concept of rest. Jesus also understood the concept of healthy, spending time in doing certain things that bring yourselves to rest. And of course, that is also important in our lives. It is important that we work his works, but at the same time, it is also important to enjoy some good rest, to enjoy some good time with family, to enjoy some good times with brothers and sisters, to spend some good time with your co-workers. When on Friday you say, wow, it was a busy week, let's share some time together. The Bible is not against, how do we call it? Jim, how do we call that? What is the Bible not against in this terminology? Some leisure time? Yes, some leisure time. Some entertainment. Entertainment is not wrong. Entertainment is something that God gave to us. But of course, it needs to be healthy entertainment. It needs to be godly entertainment. And one of the most important entertainment is eating together. Eating together is such a joy. Last night we were in with my sister, with our side of the family in that regard. We spent some good times, we had some good food, some good laughter, and that is so important. And we see that also in the lives of Jesus. Jesus is not against rest. Jesus is not against entertainment when it's right entertainment. So when we look at this, in this world, how do people judge themselves? They judge themselves often by productivity. And what a sad world that is. When you judge yourself, or when we judge one another by productivity. How sad. So when you look at the life of Jesus, you see a full, complete commitment to his God. Father, it's all about you. And brothers and sisters, can we ask ourselves that question? Can we ask ourselves a confrontational question? What is my life all about? What do I do with my time? How much time do I spend with my family? How much time do I spend with my little son? How much time do I spend with my little daughter? How much time do I spend with my wife? How much time do I spend with what my wife likes? How much time do I spend with what my children likes? How much time do I give to the church? And on the other side, how much time do I put into my career? How much time do I put into materialistic things? How much time? And as we approach 2022, I believe we can say there is no greater question than this. What do I do with my time? When you look back on your life, are there things in your life that you regret? I do. There are years that I wish that I could spend again, and then I would do some things differently, especially because I know where it took me. I did not always trace out the course of what I was doing and the decisions that I was making and how I was using my time. Brothers and sisters, let us encourage one another. Let us admonish one another. How do we spend our time? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's a well-known verse to every one of us, but maybe a verse that we sometimes need to reconsider again. You've probably heard me say this before, but I sometimes believe that Satan, when we say Matthew 6, verse 33, then we say, oh yes, I understand that. I know that verse. Colossians chapter 2, verse this. Oh yeah, I know that verse. But brothers and sisters, for those of you that know and have a binocular, when you zoom in with your binocular, what happens? Then you see the details, right? Then you see all those little things. You take your binoculars into nature and you look at that beautiful mountain, and when you look at it through your binoculars, wow, you see those little details. You look at a deer, you look at an elephant, you look at that beautiful spider from a distance with your binoculars, and all of a sudden you see so much more. That is what we need to do with Scripture. Whether you've read it 10 times, 100 times, or just one time, the Scripture should be read with binoculars. And then look at Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And of course, when you look at the context in which that verse is found, above verse 25, it says, do not be anxious. Even Christians are sometimes anxious. Sometimes with a reason, and sometimes without a reason. Yes, we all are sometimes anxious. It happens to all of us. But how many times are we not anxious when we should not be anxious? If we just have a better focus, if we just have that set of binoculars and look at God more intently, God says, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you eat. Do not worry about your clothing. Do not worry about where you will live. I will look after you. Look at the birds. The birds have a house to live in, and you are more important than the birds. If we would just spend some more time with God, if we would just spend some more time with one another, if we would just spend some more time, then all the blessings are flowing forward. And so Jesus says, when you seek the kingdom first, there is no room for anxiety. And when there is anxiety, Philippians tells us, pray and commit it to him who has all knowledge and all wisdom. Everything falls into place when we spend time to seek him more intimately. Now, when we look at God, one thing we can say about God is urgent. Time is a premium. Yesterday, how close it even is to today, yesterday is gone. There is nothing that you can change about yesterday. Time is a premium with God. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 18. Luke chapter 14, verse 18. It says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Brothers and sisters, we are so good in making excuses. But God's concept of time is important. Even when we look at Jesus, Jesus had actually little patience with people who put second-rate things ahead of following him. Jesus said literally, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. No one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 7, verse 57 through 62. Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you, Jesus. Wherever you go, he even says. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead and bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another one said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Who is fit for the kingdom of God? In terms of time, those who trace out the course of everything that they are doing. Those that walk in wisdom. That is the key. That is the heart of everything that true Christianity is all about. And brothers and sisters, let us ask ourselves some confrontational questions. Let us be honest with ourselves. Is God really first in my life? Is God really the center of my heart? Or do I have excuses when it comes to the will of God? And we look at it. We look at it in the lives of Jesus. Many people made their excuses for time. And Jesus said, that's not how it works. You're either before me or you are against me. Brothers and sisters, it basically comes down to this. We must schedule our priorities. Or otherwise, our schedule makes our priorities. Let us make use of our time. Let us be more committed in the new year than what we were in 2022. And be blessed with the greatest blessing that you can ever find. God on your side. Christ as your high priest, and the Spirit as your empowerment. Brothers and sisters, in closing, 2023 is coming. Let us make solid decisions. As for this lesson, there is one more thing I'd like to share. In one way, I find it a little bit difficult to say, and I hope you will respect me for it from what I'm about to say. But when it comes to time, let us also be the people that are on time for the Bible studies. Let us be the kind of people that are on time for the worship service. And please understand me, I say it almost with a broken heart. Because I know it is not always easy, but we need to admonish one another. We need to encourage one another. When we have an appointment with our government, when we have an appointment at the gemeentehuis, are we going to be 10 minutes later? Are we going to be 15 minutes later? Are we going to be 20 minutes later? And the answer is no. At least I believe the answer is no. When it comes to God, when it comes to the church, let me appeal to you. And again, I say it with respect. I say it with love. I say it with concern. You are my brothers. You are my sisters. But it is important. You make a statement even to your children when you are too late. You make a statement to your children when you are on time. Somebody said to me at one time, there are some places where the visitors are, how did he say it? There are certain places where the visitors, they are greeting the members, where the members should be greeting the visitors. Brothers and sisters, again, with respect, with love, with an embrace, please, in 2023, be more on time when it comes to the Bible study, when it comes to the worship service. Amen.